Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 324, part 1, Self-Respect. Today is Friday, December 27th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled, Self-Respect. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Are you hearing this? Now this right here talks about self-control and self-respect. And listen now. But before we start, let's get into Psalm 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. And so we're talking about God in all of his dignity and all of his power and all of his greatness has respect unto the lowly. He views them with a pleasure and he thinks about them with care. Think about that next time you're standing in line up there feeding people. And you see that humble look on their face and you see that poverty of spirit. Well, the Lord looks at them with respect. And you know what? He listens to their prayers. That's why you can tell the people in the lines, will you pray for me? Because he's listening to the lowly. And because they think little of themselves, he thinks so much of them. They might be low in their own esteem, but they are high in his esteem. But the proud he knoweth afar off. He doesn't need to come near them in order to discover their utter vanity. Doesn't take a lot to smell a dunghill. You can smell it a long ways off, especially when it's windy. I mean, a glance from a distance reveals to him their emptiness, their offensiveness. And so it says in the Bible, he has no fellowship with them. I wonder how many people in high places, and I'm talking about the church, really think we have it on and God doesn't even come near us. Depart from me, I know you not. And so he has fellowship with the lowly, and he views these others at a distance. You see, he's not deceived by them despite their loud claims. And that's why the Bible says, boast not of yourself, but boast of the Lord. Oh, I've met so many wonderful people in my life. A lot of them I've met with, this is what I'm talking about today, self-respect. And some of them I even met in bars before I got saved. That had more self-respect than we do in the house of God. And I'll explain that to you. And so I think it is very important, you see, to learn to view ourselves as God does. Not as we think we're to view others or ourselves. The Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And so then that we don't become indignant. And say from our own understanding, don't you know, I have my self-respect after all. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. That's putting a gun in someone's face. See, it is nothing we have to prove, self-respect. But I believe it is an inner evaluation of ourselves. It's a knowing oneself. You know yourself? You're listening on the radio. Do you know yourself? Well, Christ Jesus, God, come on earth, had so much self-respect, he didn't ever answer his accusers. He didn't have to. He had nothing to prove. So the Bible says he was lowly. He never entered into a self-righteous arena. And it seems in the world today there are so many entering the arena of self-righteousness, so on. You know, the greatness he had was that he did the will of the Father. He obeyed. And that was real simple. Never took credit for anything. Well, these things that you see me do, I don't do of myself. And so all things, going on with the message, are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything, really applies right now, doesn't it? Philippians 4 and 13, then, in contrast, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can. Self-respect. One of the great words of life, but almost, you know, a lost word because of no self-discipline. And you can find it wherever that you may go. People not putting their whole heart into things. You know, right now, as large as this ministry has become in mission work, how much greater a work it could do if people that have been here and gone would have put their whole heart into it. You know what can happen when you put your whole heart into something? Well, then you have self-respect. You're not looking for an easy way out. You're not saying, hey, how about me? No, you have more self-respect than that. You stand up with holes in your gloves and a tattered old coat, and you say, where's the work at? And so it's become almost a lost word. I believe there'll be a lot of people in schools right now coming out a lot better than they are if, let's face it, people were putting their whole heart into teaching them. You can't tell me that's happening. And so because of no self-discipline and a breakdown, total breakdown in morals, self-respect, I'm talking about, and I believe it is the prince of virtues. It never advertises. Look how respectable I am. I put a Bible under my arm. I never mow the grass on Sunday. I keep all the laws. Thank God I'm not like these other folks, these heathens. It never window displays for everyone to see how great it is. It's quietness, it's simplicity, it's peace, it's power, it's, well, really an unpretentious power. It's like gold that's hidden in a rock. You don't know it's there, but it knows it's there. And so self-respect marks our character. It gives you individuality. And without it, you can't be an individual. It gives us eagle's wings so that we can soar far above the criticism and the sham of this world or church or whatever and just fly right over the top of it. Not that we don't dip once in a while. And so it lifts us then from the common to the very great. And I don't care what position you're in financially. I'm not talking about that. And so it raises man to his loftiest levels of living. Even in prisons, they have a code of honor. Even in the criminal element, they have a code of honor. And so the man becomes one with Christ, glorying in his freedom. And then, of course, guided by his own judgment in Jesus, not by the group. Governed by his own conscience. We all have one of those, saved or unsaved. If you're listening on the radio, everyone has a conscience. It means led by the Spirit. See, it's not respect for self as it is, but rather reverence for what it should be. I mean, it's going after that. So you don't have to say, I have attained. You're always going after it. And then I believe it's also the supreme court of individuality. That's where you show up. Not by mob decisions, as it were. No agreeing against our conscience here. No. Deciding every individual act by its own code of justice. Everyone. You don't just sit down like the modern day psych and go through the records and have everybody categorized. Well, this is a schizo and this is a nutso and so on like that. You judge each one without even saying anything. Oh, I thought to myself how society needs to be governed by self-respect, and we wouldn't do a whole lot of things we're doing to each other. Well, I hear someone saying on the radio, I'm a new creation. Oh, you know, some of these scripture-quoting parrots. And they have a scripture for this and a scripture for that, and then the Lord says here and the Lord says there, and they don't keep any of these things. They merely quote them. They're always learning and always seminarying out, but never coming to know Jesus in the reality of actually putting their body to work. So what? New creation. This is a new creation that sits and learns and learns and learns and never does anything with it? Yeah, but you see, I'm filled with the Spirit. Prove it. Let's see a little action. Well, I'm born again. I'm a new self. Well, let's check it out. Self-respect is far above self-conceit. Well, you can get puffed up in knowing a lot. You know what I'm talking about? A puffed up strutter living in a house of mirrors. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of us all? Mirrors of admiration. How do I love me? Let me count the ways. And then again, we have to enter into, refer back to, self-esteem. Thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Or vanity. Which must be fed continually the honey of flattery. Well, what'd this guy die of? Well, I really don't know. But from all of the symptoms, he died for the lack of a fix, a flattery fix. He needed one so bad that he died. And some live under that cold. They have to be continually flattered. Are you hearing this? Yeah, without flattery, there's a whole lot of folks that would just droop and die. Totally die. I helped in everything, and no one said, thank you so much. You hugged and kissed me and wrapped your arms around me and said, oh, you're such a wonderful person. Well, that's nice to do, but sometimes people are busy and they might have some kind of flower or eggs on their hands and it wouldn't be just the right time to hug you. You don't have to live a dog's life walking up with your eyes up like this for somebody to pat you on the head all the time. See, I'm talking about a person who has self-respect realizes that the very worst punishment he could have. Now you're hearing this. I hope everybody's hearing this message today. For a mean act. The very worst punishment he could have. For a careless word, for listening to gossip, for judging someone, for unloyalty. For unlove. Would be his own consciousness. That he has lowered himself in his own eyes. Don't worry about the eyes of someone else. It's the lowering of yourself in your own eyes. And don't get judging yourself. Judge yourself, give it up, say you're sorry, pray, get forgiveness, and go on. I'm not talking about getting into a whip yourself on the back situation. It's a sadistic thing. That, oh my God, feeling that we're left with when everybody's agreed with us and we know that we've caused friction and division and all kinds of things, and well, you were justified in that, brother, and you go home and you have that feeling in your gut that you did wrong and you lower yourself in your own eyes. Now, of course, maybe I'm the only one that's ever done anything like that. Is anybody here with me that's done something like that and had that feeling? That's how you learn, you know. Oh, and that lonesome feeling, don't you know, after the lynch mob leaves and you're left all alone with your own conscience. Did you ever see these movies where they, oh, let's get him, and they grab a wagon and they toss the guy and bind him up, see, and then they, no, the guy's yelling, I didn't do it, and you know hasn't done anything, and the guy has been scheming, those shows are all the same, scheming to land grab and all this, you know, and he's in there in the diamond club over there, and it's Sal, my gal Sal out there, you know, and all this. The same old thing, you know, but there's just a lot of truth in it. And they string the guy up, and everybody says, kill him, kill him. And then after it's all done, they got to go live with this. Huh? They got to go live with it. Oh, and that's why the mob makes so much noise, to drown out their conscience. Their conscience is talking to them. Say something. Go up. Cut the rope. Give your life. Nope. Just yell a little louder. But boy, how quiet it is after that deed is done. Anyway, that he has done an act unworthy of himself and God. And he starts to realize that it matters little whether the world or Christian friends know it or not. He knows it. You can get into the Bible and you can letterize everything in here, and you can make it so legal. You can jump in a barrel of flour and make yourself uglier than sin itself. It doesn't make you one bit better. God always deals with your conscience. He takes the word, he makes it alive. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So it's a blending of the whole word of God. The conscience comes up with the right thing every time. Yeah, he knows it. He judges himself. He condemns himself. And that's punishment enough, don't you know? Living with himself. Living with the stench and the stink of going on with a popular opinion doesn't make it right. 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. If he does not judge the body rightly, for this reason many are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves, if we listen to our conscience, we should not be judged. Oh, that's a good feeling. You won't be judged. By who? By God. That's a great feeling. You ever admire the person that stuck up for somebody that was wrong? That didn't make everybody right that said the guy was wrong. And so all the ones that were right and said the guy was wrong, even though he was wrong, and the guy that stuck up for him and he knew he was wrong, has that good feeling he did right because he didn't judge. And the others, after they leave, in their corporate reasoning, have to live with themselves and sleep with themselves and look at themselves and live with themselves forever with that. See, there's a whole lot more in self-respect. And I have my self-respect than throwing a shotgun out the window and blowing everybody away. Because then you have to live with yourself too. And so he has to live with himself and live with the stink. Who? A person, I believe, who has self-respect is patient, kind, not jealous, doesn't brag, isn't arrogant. You heard it. Does not act unbecomingly, doesn't seek his own, is not easily provoked. Doesn't say he isn't provoked. Does not keep account of a wrong suffered. Doesn't write them all down. Did you ever get out a pen and pencil and think, well, no, I got to get a case on this person. I remember they did this, they did this, they did this, and you have dear diary. Some of those diaries, you ought to burn those things. They're just full of a whole lot of complaints about what somebody did to you. And who cares after all? Of course, the person doesn't. And you shouldn't either. All it does is remind you how miserable you are. You listening on the radio? Turned it back on, did you? That's good. Yeah, doesn't keep account of wrong suffered, doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Some rejoice with lies and hearsay. Well, the guy said, who's the guy? Well, you know, the guy. You know that guy. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, I didn't mean to say that. I just mean. And then they think just takes care of it, like we started out with. Did you ever been around somebody with a I don't know shoulders? Well, at least their shoulders get exercised. That's how people walk around, they're a pain in the neck. Then the undecided ones are one shoulder, one up, one down. Then the ones that know it all are just free. I know it all. I don't know. They said. Well, I didn't mean that. I just meant that you were fat and ugly. I mean, you know, don't get offended by it. I just meant, you know, that's what everybody's saying. Self-respect, the Bible goes on, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Never takes into account a wrong suffered. And aren't these the characteristics of a Christ-like person? Aren't they? Isn't the greatest of all, I speak in tongues, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. Doesn't mean anything, it's a gong. If you don't have love. And I'm not talking about walking over and kissing your neighbor every day. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You don't get up and kiss the mirror every morning, do you? But you feed yourself and you clothe yourself and so on. Know how the Beatitudes come alive when the fruit is revealed. You know, like the glory of God is manifested. I started thinking about the fruit of the Spirit one time and I thought, praise God, there isn't lips on apples. It just quietly gives itself. Here, come pick me and eat of me. Then the seeds drop in the ground and 30, 60, 90 come again, and that is where the reward is. That's the same way we are when we have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, so on. It's just there, and it's there for the picking, for people to partake of. It doesn't say anything. It's used. And see, when we slip from this, and we know it, isn't that punishment enough when we slip from the glory of God manifested in us? Well, how is the glory of God manifested in us? I hear someone screaming over the radio. By going out and doing the works. First of all, believe. This is all I want you to do, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then go out there and do something because you do believe. And that is the fruit of the Spirit, the Lord, to actually physically go out and do something. That is the fruit. That, by the way, is the fruit of the Lord's labor. And so we have wounded our own honor, and we feel a sense of shame that no mere argument can ever remove. Self-respect, I believe, is justice and honor, and it's truth blended into one powerful force. And I think a person that has self-respect has sort of a fine contempt for whatever is hateful and negative and low and petty and mean and filthy. Oh, he may fall short or start to fall even, but he recovers quickly. No matter how provoked he is, no matter how deep the cause for righteous anger, he doesn't use it to humiliate someone else unjustly. Why? He respects himself. Don't blow it, self. Have more respect for yourself than to blow it. Have you ever blown it? Totally just blew it. I mean, you're starting out and you're going to have a great day. Great day in the morning and you blew it. Well, then you don't have no respect for yourself. What do you have to do? You have to go back and try to get it again. How do you get it again? Well, if a brother comes 70 times, 490 times a day, then you give it back to him. You give him back his self-respect. I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. Okay, here's your self-respect. I receive that. That's fine. Don't say, don't think nothing of it. It's none of your business. Oh, that's all right. Don't think nothing of it, because I think plenty of it, and I'm going to remember it until you die. That's what you're saying. But he respects his witness. He never speaks mean or spiteful words. And why? Because he has self-respect. He has to live, don't you see, with what he is. He has to go to bed with that character every night. Captive in that body. He has to live with what he puts out. Oh, so it isn't so important to have the last word, because then you're stuck with the last word. Well, I had the last. I'll have the last word if it kills me. And it will. See, when we hurt someone, we live with it. When you gossip, you live with it. When we're petty, we live with it. And you know, for a petty satisfaction, I think this person with self-respect would never plant weeds in the field of another's reputation. Oh, there's a lot of that going on now, isn't there? Oh, God. But anyway, self-respect meets this enemy and attacks it head on. But it uses an honest sword. Doesn't use the sneaky switchblade. Self-respect then fights right out in the open and doesn't go for victory, won by a hateful in the back thrust. And it's a hard fighter, yeah. And it stands up, by the way, for the rights of others. And it makes people respect others. Doesn't it? You ever hear people say, why don't you mind your own business? Someone's getting their head beat in. And they say, well, this is my business. I won't sleep tonight. I see you caving this man's head in here. So I'm thinking about tonight and the next night and a year from now and so on if you kill this man. I think more of myself than that. So I'm going to tell you to get your hands off of that man and do it right now. Yeah, because you have to live with that. Walk around the one that's wounded. You know the story. Oh, look, oh, that's, I don't want to get involved. That's a mess. I mean, I'll just step around this mess. You ever have an opportunity to help somebody? You don't do it? Well, I'd help them, but it wouldn't look good for me. I stay away from that person. He was a friend, but now, the police got him over there, and he's in trouble. And, oh, God, I just don't want to be with this person. I mean, I don't want to enter into his suffering. And then you have to enter into your own suffering with your conscience. Are you hearing it on the radio? Or maybe you'd like a teaching ABC on how to be spiritual and claim things in the name of Jesus so you wouldn't have to do any kind of work at all, don't you know? That isn't what it's all about. No, it isn't. Self-respect has no fear. Fear not, for I am with you. It demands he be equally respected. Well, sometimes by just shutting your mouth and continuing on is telling people, good will overcome evil, and I'm just going to go right on doing what I always did. This one thing I do. Isn't that what Jesus did? They called him a whoremonger, and they called him a winebibber, and he just went right on his way. This one thing I do. I am facing my Jerusalem. See, because retaliation, and then again we should say revenge, are beneath that type of person. I mean, why soil our mind with evil plans? I'll get even. I'll make it look like... I know how it takes two to play this old game. Let's see now. Let's see. So, shame me, will you? Okay, well, we'll figure something out for you, buddy boy. I'll call up the Inquirer magazine. They don't care. They'll take anything. Yeah. I'll take a picture of you, see, and I'll put it right on the front page. They'll never nominate you for dog catcher, boy. That was somebody that did that. Wasn't it? Would you want to be that person that did that? Not me. No way do I want to ruin somebody's life. No way. You got to live with it. And even the people that agree with it got to live with it. I think we got a lot of living to do. See, self-respect wouldn't let you do something like that. Self-respect wouldn't have you put somebody on TV. You'd have more respect for yourself than that. It would make you sick when you watch it. When you watch Christianity fighting openly. Yeah. That's not respecting your new self, is it? I'm a new creature in Christ.
That was episode 324, part 1, Self-Respect. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam. And admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. 'Cause the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are
changing. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing.